Acer Radio Theater proudly presents Eric Twins Activate. All right, Al, we're going to find that Philosopher's Stone to get our bodies back if it's the last thing we do.
I know, the villagers said that it'll really help us. I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's supposed to be somewhere near here, but we have to decipher the clue in this book. I think I'm going to have to use our powers.
Our powers?
Yes, our powers. Elric's brother powers activate form of reading glasses. Well, apparently, we're going to have to be going and finding this map buried underneath the local church.
Under the local church?
Under the local church.
Wow.
Elric brother's powers restore. You know, it's great being an alchemist.
Why am I in the suit? Why did you have to make me an armor suit?
Well, you know, don't get all jumpity here, Al. I mean, you know, you've got some pretty cool, you know, abilities, too. I mean, you're not as cool as the state alchemist, you know, Al. So, you know, I'm just saying...
Man, let's go get the alchemist stone,
look,
man.
I'm a full metal alchemist. I am Ed Elric. You're just Al, who no one's ever heard of. But it's like,
ooh, he's made of metal. He must be the full metal alchemist.
Shut up, man.
Hey, I get tired of it every time. Now look, we're going to find the stone.
That's what
we're going to do it my way.
Let's go to the church right now.
We'll go to the church, but we're doing things my way, Al.
Of course we do it your way. I mean, it's not like my way would ever get anywhere.
What are you saying, that I'm a pipsqueak, that I'm not worth considering?
Basically.
Well, I'm tired of your attitude, Al. How about you take the lead then?
All right, let's go. Where's the church, by the way?
It's half a kilometer north of here.
North? All right.
I want to be a damn big tin can, at least. Doop-a-doop-a-doop. Besides, it's not like I can turn into a mailbox if I wanted
to. Shut up! Mailboxes can be good!
Yeah, et cetera, et cetera.
Hey, I've also turned into a shovel. That got us out of that sticky situation, don't you know?
That got us to go and undig this damn book is what it got us. Now, look. I may be able to turn my arm into all sorts of cool stuff, and I may have abilities probably far beyond what you'll ever be able to recover, and I'm able to go and use my alchemy on things that you could never even possibly imagine, but that doesn't mean I can change my own body, because I'm a human, and you know how much harder it's still to deal with living things than dead...
Dead?
Inanimate.
Hey! Yeah, that's right! You just be quiet!
I'm sorry, Al. I didn't mean that.
Hey, isn't this about the time where the bad guy usually comes? About when we get the book?
You know, that is kind of unusual.
Wow.
Maybe we'll get off easy this time. Wait a minute. What's the title of the show again?
I don't remember.
Full Metal Alchemist, right?
Uh-huh.
Alright, well, here's the script. Let me look through here. Okay, well, according to this, we never get it easy. So, cue the bad guy.
Oh, here I go. Sorry about that.
Well, you're not going to stop Al and us from getting our hands on that Philosopher's Stone.
Well, I don't need to stop you because I've already used it.
Used it? You mean you command the very power of alchemy without limitations of any sort? Kind of like me, who's the best alchemist there is on Earth?
Okay, I haven't used it yet, but that's the plan is I'm going to use it, and you have to get by me for you to get it.
Well, it's a good thing that I'm in charge of going and stopping you, because my brother couldn't possibly stop you with his pathetic alchemy skills.
Hey, shut up, man! I can stop him!
You could not stop him.
Well, I could change into anything, man. I could change into...
You could change into a metal plate.
So I could change into a full... I could change into a knife, man.
And how would you stab somebody if you were a knife? Would you be some sort of knife machine?
I could change him myself to a rusty spoon and poke his eyes out.
Are you guys going to fight me, or what are we seeing here?
Shut up, man! We're talking here!
Yeah, don't butt into conversations. You know that's rude.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I do have...
Shut up, I said!
Look, I have the Alchemist Stone. If you want to have the powers of the Philosopher's Stone in your hand, you're going to have to start listening.
Shut up!
Alright, now as I was saying, don't be jealous of my
man,
power.
Man, I can change into cool things!
Did you just hit that guy?
He doesn't let me get my plan crossed.
We knocked him out before he even used the stone.
What a moron. You think this showed higher better?
You know what this means?
Huh.
We're gonna have such a horrible episode next time.
those clever engineers.
But no.
Time for ASO Radio.
And welcome, otaku of all ages, to ASO Radio, or as I like to say, ASO Radio. This is episode number 78 with NZ17
and GB3,
bringing you the latest, greatest, and belatedest of the anime world.
Wow, it's been a good week in the anime world, I'd have to say.
Well, there's been plenty of news, but we haven't been keeping up with that, so, you know, it's bound to add up after a while. But still, good news pieces we have this week.
Yes.
Now, last time was the last episode of Season 5.
Right.
And I promised new sound effects for this season.
Yes, you did.
So, right before the news starts, you'll either be gratified or sorely disappointed. What are your bets, DB3?
I bet they'll be sorely disappointed.
Yeah, that happens. Dun, 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 dun. Welcome to the evening news with Dan Weathers.
This is Dan Weathers reporting your weekly anime news.
We have a boat full of anime news this week, mainly because there's a lot of interesting news this week.
Amazingly enough, there is.
Amazingly. DB3, will you?
Yeah, I'll start it off with something about Gundam Seed, Destiny... This fall, yep, this fall, according to the September 2005 issue of New Type USA, a representative...
Yeah, you, like, jumped way ahead. You're right here where it says Mobile Suit Gundam.
There we go, I was like...
Let's start from the beginning.
All right. According to the September 2005 issue of New Type USA, Mobile Suit Gundam Seed, Destiny Volume 1, listed for a quarter 4 2005 release. A representative of Bandai Entertainment has confirmed to Anime News Network that the DVD will be released in the late 2005 or early 2006.
Okay, hopefully moving that news to the other side of the screen will help.
Yes.
Naruto continues to climb the Lycos Top 50. Now, for those of you who are newer to the web than I, Lycos is, I guess you could say, one of the original search engines. And so often their top 50 search terms are used as a determiner to decide how popular a certain topic is. So, Naruto has climbed 12 more spots in the past week, I believe, on the Lycos Top 50, becoming the 19th most searched for item on Lycos during the week ending August 27th. So I have a feeling that we're going to have a lot of Naruto fans when it airs in this September.
I'm going to be one of them.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, I think so.
Is it on your schedule?
I know, but it will be. I'll put it there.
Oh, okay.
Well, something else that is not on my schedule, but is going on in the world is Ganyan. It has a music line to partner on Anime Fusion Mall Tour. Yoko Ishida.
Let me read that title there real quick. Ganyan and Music Land to partner on Anime Fusion Mall Tour.
Thanks. Yoko Ishida will be headlining...
Oh, hey, you did that well.
Thank you. Yoko Ishida will be headlining a mall tour both the East and West Coast starting this weekend, September 3rd. According to a press release issued today, the tour is... Oh, this is...
Co-produced.
No, yeah, this is co-produced by Ganyan and Music Land. Ishida and her Para Para dancers will be performing inside Suncoast and Media Play locations across the country. I was going to go for a date so they could see
when it
came out today.
Well, I'm sure that they can go and check that out on their own.
Yeah.
Okay, so Manga Entertainment schedules an Astro Boy box set. Now remember, this is Manga Entertainment, not U.S. Manga Corps, of which we don't have the best of relationship with. Mainly because we don't like a lot of what they put out. But, Manga Entertainment...
They put out?
I think there was one thing that I did like that U.S. Manga Corps did. But, Manga Entertainment has scheduled a November 22nd release date for a 7-disc DVD box set that will contain all 51 episodes of the 1983 Astro Boy TV series. The set will include both the original Japanese language track and the English dub. And it should be noted for our listeners that to keep track of these things, there are three different Astro Boy TV series. The one that came out in the 60s, the one that came out in the 80s, and the one that came out in the, was it, I think 2003.
Yeah.
Which did horribly over here.
Yeah.
But, you know.
There's good reason, because it was a horrible anime.
Yeah, well, you know, I think, who released that one? Was it Right Stuff International, or was that someone else?
I don't think it was Right Stuff.
Would you take this one, DB3?
Yeah, CPM is restarting their anime club program. What's CPM?
Central Park Media.
Okay, Central Park Media is restarting its anime club outreach program, Anime University, in September. The program will include monthly shipments of screeners and merchandise, and will also feature a monthly industry fanzine.
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 Magazine, but by fanzine.
Fanzine, co-written by staffers at CPM, as well as anime fans. CPM.
Wait, does that mean that the staff at CPM aren't anime fans? That's just wrong.
No, they wouldn't be that dumb. CPM first launched Anime University 2 years ago. However, at that time, it failed to get off the ground. I wonder why.
Probably just not organized enough.
Yeah, this time CPM informs us they're putting a large effort into making the program functional.
Yes, interesting note is that ADV has had their anime club program for a while. And one of the requirements is, like, you need at least 15 regular members and so forth. And over the years, various anime licensors have had various programs. So I suppose that it's just kind of the weekly purge and binge cycle. You know, every few years it seems that the programs die off and restart. And speaking of which, Funimation Anime Club Support Program. Funimation's anime club program, called Operation Anime, will continue operating into the coming year. Operation Anime continues to add new clubs every week and provide them with access to a large variety of titles they can choose from viewing every month, states Funimation representative Divers. More information about Operation Anime can be found at the Funimation website. Yeah, I wish back in the day when we were trying to start the anime society that we had all these nice free DVDs guaranteed.
Well, this next one comes from AnimeTunes. The AnimeTunes 3 samples is out. Christina Shaw's website has been updated with samples of some of the music that will be included in the upcoming AnimeTunes 3.
By the way, Christina Shaw created AnimeTunes 3 alongside DJ Janai, who he did the music and the beats, and she provided the vocal accompaniment. You know, I happen to know he likes ASO Radio.
He does.
Okay, so next up, crazy time, because we got to have at least one crazy story every week. That's a requirement of our news.
Yes.
ScienceFictionGate.com, or SFGate.com, has an article on the recently published anime style Nancy Drew comic and its artist, Sho Murase. Murase's next project will be Me Too for Tokyo Pop. One has to wonder. Tentacles?
I was thinking maybe they're going to be more of a, like, a Case Closed sort of thing.
It could be. Nancy Drew stuck forever as a young girl.
Wait, isn't that what she is?
You know, I could almost see that actually being a real manga. If Nancy Drew stuck as a young girl and torturous tentacles.
Oh.
Because, I don't know, it's just screaming to be made that, let's stop there.
All right. Next up, we have Kimagori, Orange Road Artist to Return. Mainichi has an English article about Izumi Matsumoto, the creator of Kimagori, Orange Road. Matsumoto was forced to give up manga due to a medical condition. He is now better and wants to bring attention to the ailment, called cerebrospinal fluid disease, with a new manga.
Which I think would be rather interesting. As we've done on the show before, I like things that touch on... not so much the human condition, but I meant more along the lines of unique situations and whatnot, such as that girl power where the girl was a mute. Okay, so next up, very interesting little presentation given by a university professor at Stanford. At the annual Entertainment Media Expo this weekend in Las Vegas, Lawrence Lessig, very big name.
Yeah.
A professor of law at Stanford University and the author of Free Culture, obviously a book, made a presentation arguing that the courts need to redefine, or at least better define, the conditions of fair use. As an example, he showed the attendees an anime music video clips, which we've seen many of.
Yes.
which may be seen as contravening multiple copyrights. My aim was to demonstrate the creativity that digital networks are enabling, even though this creativity is also a kind of piracy, Lessig explained to Anime News Network. I was trying to challenge the assumption about what piracy is here. Lessig stated during his presentation that my plea is that we receive the need to dial back the mentality of control. Copyright laws have and should be used to promote the progress of the market, not protect the profits of a small and declining cartel. Under existing copyright laws, AMVs, anime music videos, contravene the copyrights of the anime and music used in the video. Unless the creator of the AMV has permission from the copyright holders to use said material, the material is part of the public domain, or the material is an original creation of the AMV creator. Which, yeah, I gotta say, you know, sampling needs a bit more leniency.
Yes, definitely.
And there was something else I was gonna mention about that.
You know, this just is a good article, because he's right. Like, a lot of, like, if you remember the one T-Man made for us,
I thought you said He-Man.
No, T-Man.
He-Man!
Like, seriously, like...
That was a good music video He-Man.
Yeah.
T-Man put together.
But he does have a point. If you don't get the permission from him, you technically are stealing from him. And that's just dumb, because there's a lot of really good...
Well, not stealing, but breaking copyright.
Yeah.
So,
that's just a lot of... There's a lot of really good... There are a lot of good AMVs out there that... I don't know, it's just sort of... Yeah.
Yeah.
I think everyone knows what I'm trying to say.
There are some AMVs that aren't quite good, but you don't use those as a sample for your argument.
That's why I said there are a lot of good ones, but there are even more dumb ones.
Well, this is one that I'm excited about, okay? According to the website of Discotech Media, a new North American DVD distributor, they intend to license, localize, and release anime, as well as Asian cinema. While no anime titles are mentioned in Discotech's website, Anime on DVD quotes a Discotech representative as saying they are going to release classic anime films Animal Treasure Island, Puss in Boots, and Taro the Dragon Boy. Anime on DVD also reports that Discotech will be releasing several Lupin titles, such as Lupin the Third, Strange Psychokinetic Strategy, Lupin the Third, The Legend of the Gold of Babylon, and Lupin the Third, The Fuma Conspiracy. Animego released The Fuma Conspiracy on DVD in early 2003, and the DVD is still available from their website. Animego also released The Legend of the Gold of Babylon on VHS and Laserdisc, however, this title has never had a North American DVD release. The live-action Strange Psychokinetic Strategy has never been released in North America. And according to Discotech, they will all have the original Japanese language, anamorphic widescreen, and the English dub. So, DB3. Can you understand why I am excited for them to be doing what they are doing?
Because...
If the answer is no, you can admit to it.
No.
Because, quite frankly, Puss in Boots... Oops. Didn't want to do that. Just ignore that, people. Puss in Boots was... well, everybody knows the classic story of Puss in Boots. But what makes it interesting, number one... It's one
Already
of Toya's.
It's going for one of his lists. You may be sitting here for hours and hours.
It's one of Toya's most popular anime ever. Number two, I own the original Nintendo System game made based off of that anime, which kind of sucks that the anime wasn't brought here, but the game was. But awesome game, awesome game. Number three, Miyazaki was one of the crew that worked on Puss in Boots. And let's see, what's the other one they were planning on doing? I believe he was also involved with Animal Treasure Island. And I'm not sure about Toro the Dragon Boy, but there's some important anime people that were involved with that one as well. So that's why I'm excited about that. The Lupin DVDs, well, I had a good run with Lupin movies, so you know how it is.
Yeah.
DB3?
Gonzo credit cards. Yes, they are offering Gonzo MasterCard credit cards to the public. The branded credit cards are available in a variety of styles, including Samurai 7, Gan... 2, and Kaleidostar, as well as plain Gonzo-branded cards. Use of the Gonzo cards will also provide rewards such as Gonzo DVDs, projectors, gift certificates, and more. DC card credit cards are only available to residents of Japan.
I wonder if they have any Abanobashi ones.
You know, beginning a projector, that wouldn't be that bad.
Beginning what?
Getting a projector.
What projector?
They said it's one of the things.
Right, oh, right, I guess, yeah, a projector would be pretty fine.
Yeah.
Okay, so, here's some details about the final release. That's right, the end of Yurusei Yatsura. In an effort to clarify exactly what's happening with the last two volumes of Yurusei Yatsura, Animigo has announced the following on their website. And this is a quote here. Yes, we will be selling Yurusei Yatsura TV Volume 50 as a single, just like Volumes 49 through 46. Volume 49 will contain 3 episodes, and Volume 50 will contain 2. The final 2, I imagine. Both discs will be packed with as many extras as will fit, including, but not limited to, a line art gallery, a color picture gallery, including the packaging art, trailers, including the Yurusei Yatsura OAVs and movies, a character retrospective, the list or slideshow of all characters, major and minor, with bios and fun facts, cast and crew bios with the directors, voice actors, and more, a gallery of Dapya space people, a slideshow of where the alien fish guys have shown up, karaoke, the Yurusei Yatsura songs with English and Romanji subs, clean opening and ending songs, Robert Woodhead interview, who of course is the president of Animigo, and Easter eggs. They will not say where they are,
or even if they actually are there.
Yes, just to drive people crazy. So, you know, Rumiko Takahashi, you either love her or hate her.
Yep. And Sony Pictures Entertainment plans to offer 300 titles on cell phones later this year in Japan. 10 popular manga...
What sort of titles? Manga titles?
Yes, they are manga titles. That's because, well, because we're not as cool as Japan, so we won't ever get them.
But not as Japanese as Japan.
No, that's true. 10 popular manga artists, including Shigeru Mizuki,
I might want to take this one if they're going to start naming names.
Has signed exclusive contracts with Sony. People who have read the manga on their cell phones pay 350 yen to download 5 manga titles a month by an artist of their choice. There's no word from Sony if these titles will also be available over the Sony PSP in the future.
Yeah, that's pretty good. 315 yen breaks down to about $5. So if you can download 5 titles for $3, that's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
But there is more.
Yes, NTT Solmare and Topan Publishing, which also provide manga on cell phones, would combine only half... Would combine only have half that amount available. Celsius, a software company based in Japan, has developed a technology that browses through manga stories at a certain sequence and speed that the companies use to publish manga on cell phones. It is called comic surfing. I wouldn't mind go comic surfing. It's anything, like any other surfing.
This last sentence makes me smile in a laughy sort of way.
Yes. Integration of sound effects will also be soon available.
That's pretty funny, sound effects for manga on cell phones. What will they think of next? Probably something really gimmicky. Okay. Finally, a bit of a tip happening with a manga artist, or mangaka. Mangaka Seiko Sabara is embroiled in a dispute with the school her eldest son attends regarding a panel of her manga, Mainichi Kasan, or Daily Everyday Mom, where 5 school children are called the 5 class dummies. After the panel was published in November, she was called in by her son's class teacher, who told her that she was causing trouble for the school and demanded that she refrain from depicting school scenes. This begat a longer dispute that remains unresolved today. Saibara says that her work is fiction, and that she has the right to freedom of expression, while the school says she should take more consideration for the other children and their patrons, and that her manga clearly depicts that school, even featuring the school's name. Saibara received the Japan Media Arts Festival Award last year, and the Tezuka Osamu, who we're a fan of, cultural prize this year, both for her work on Mainichi Kasan. The strip depicts the daily life of a woman and her children.
Alright, can I say something about this? I think this is just dumb, man. Like, they say it depicts the daily life of a woman and her child. Like, kids, they categorize their classmates. So when they say, there's these 5 dummies,
Yeah, kids do that. They're like, oh, he's a dummy. I don't want to hang out with him.
And, you know, life is not fair.
No.
Okay? So there's going to be dumb people, and they're going to be in classrooms, you know? So, I mean, they might not like hearing themselves be called dumb, but, you know, that's tough.
And I don't think she goes to school and is like, that kid right there, my son said you didn't like him. I'm going to make him the dumb one.
And like she said, it's based off her own life. So while it is fiction, it's also, in a way, autobiographical. So who's to say that she can't go and tell her own story?
Yeah.
You know? So the teacher may not like her going and speaking her mind, you know, oh, what about the children or their parents or whatnot? But still, I think that it should be up to, you know, letting her speak her piece. If she's not naming names and showing what these kids look like and whatnot,
yeah,
then no big deal.
None at all.
So, season 6, new sound effects. I'm proud.
And the fans are disappointed.
They could be.
They could be.
Still really pumped. MDK, right around the corner.
Let's get there, man.
We're going to have some awesome episodes. Of course, by the time this episode comes up, might be after we go to NDK.
Yeah.
Because we're pumping them out, two at a time, all the way up to the con. Then bam, bam, bam.
Does that mean we're going to be having a time-traveling thing?
We just might. But, so, I don't know how it'll work. But I do know this is a good episode.
Yes.
And we've been making lots and lots of website improvements. DB3, I don't want to go on forever about them. How about you mention them in brief?
He's made a lot of links to make the site look really nice. He's done a lot of background work to get the site up going quicker and just make everything work a lot smoother so you fans can give your input better and easier, and it'll just make everything much more smooth.
And fan art, fan mail?
Oh, yeah, that's what I was sort of talking about, when you get their input.
Oh, okay.
But these are the fan art and fan mail pages are up, so we're expecting more fan art and fan mail from you guys.
Yeah, make that competition for the fan art prize heat up.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, let's move on to our anime review. Does it suck? Does it rock? Who knows? Anime review. DB3.
Oh, yes.
What is it that we are reviewing this week?
We are reviewing anime.
Thank you, DB3. Your help is unmeasurable.
I know,
Or immeasurable.
I try.
Possibly some combination thereof.
The name...
Oh, got your cheat sheet now.
Oh, I couldn't remember the name.
Okay.
The name of the show is Magical Shopping Arcade Abenobashi. Abenobashi.
Volume 1. Originally published, apparently, in 2003.
Yeah.
I don't trust DV3 to do a recap of the story, so I'm going to take it. Basically, two grade school kids are living in the same old section of a city. And their parents both run shops in the shopping arcade they're in, which is planned to be demolished. The kids are sad about having to move apart and not be with each other. However, the shopping arcade will not be torn down unless all of the people move out. And the son's grandfather doesn't want to move out of the shopping arcade. And as such, keep up one of the four guardians' posts.
He's actually the girl's grandfather, but who knows?
Oh, no.
Yeah, because his grandma...
Oh, that's right, because French restaurant.
Right.
Okay, so, but what happens is an accident, and he ends up destroying the guardian statue that was at that point of the shopping arcade. And this has basically caused the, I guess you could kind of think of it that the four god statues on each of the four cardinal directions of the shopping arcade were basically sealing a gate that now has been opened, and the kids keep falling into parallel dimensions of what the shopping arcade and nearby premises would be like.
Yes.
So basically the first episode is all set up, then suddenly drops you into what happened with the whole gate falls apart thing. And then it switches from basically being standard rural Japan to all of a sudden being crazy, zany things, such as DB3.
Such as RPG world.
Mm-hmm. And?
And futuristic space world.
Yep, and one more.
And the third one was China.
Yes. And the upcoming fifth one, which will be on Volume 2, assuredly, appeared to be...
prehistoric land.
Prehistoric, yes. I don't know, DB3, your thoughts on this?
On the DVD?
Yeah.
It was alright. The story, it could use a little bit more work, I think. Like,
I don't know, it just didn't click for me. I like the opening credits, the scenes, the music. I really like those. I like the closing. I like how at the closing with the credits, they have pictures of Japan itself and showing the people, and I really like that.
Well, interesting note, the pictures that they're showing are actually pictures from 50 years ago when that shopping arcade would have been made.
Really?
So showing, if you will, what's that term for pictures from a certain era? But it's basically setting the stage for that era when the shopping arcade was freshly made, brand new, and oh so interesting, whereas now it's dilapidated and everybody wants to tear it down. Interesting thing, though, is that every episode they recycle the characters and reinvent them according to this different reality.
Yes.
What do you think of the animation?
I was trying to like it. Like, there were things I liked about it, but it wasn't one... It sort of left me wanting more. Like, I kept thinking they could do better.
Mm-hmm.
They could do better.
What about the characters, though?
I like the characters. Like, they did develop the characters well. How the girl is sort of in command. How she bosses the boy around, and how she more or less gets what she wants. Almost in every boy girl situation. That's life.
Yeah,
anime,
yeah. You know, I watched the English dub of this a long time ago. Back around the time this DVD was new. And I thought that while the dub was okay, it wasn't nearly as good as the Japanese dub. They did a good job dubbing this in Japanese. I thought that the characters were likable, but all of the characters... Well, they're always switching from reality to reality, so things are chaotic, and the other characters don't really develop. They just change as to what their role is. But the relationship between the two main characters, the boy and the girl, does develop well over time as they, you know, start looking out for each other and are nicer to each other and just kind of more better define the relationship between each other, I guess.
Yeah.
You could even sense from the first volume that there was some sort of a romantic, unspoken relationship.
Like a schoolyard crush.
There you are. And I think that the series, even though it's about crazy reality tripping, is more about that than anything.
Yeah.
But I could be a hopeless romantic.
The thing I liked most about this anime was the parodies it had in it. The parodies when they made fun, they brought in Evangelion, or when they
brought basically in every episode was a parody of some popular Japanese culture, or, you know, popular international culture, if so called for it. I did like their nod to the Five Stars.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. But there's not really much to say about this, because it's just basically a comedic show that just jumps from place to place.
Yeah.
You know, so there's not much to say. If you like parodies, this might be a good one for you. DB3, your score?
Neutral. I wasn't too impressed. Like, you know, I wasn't really too impressed by it.
Mm.
It wasn't anything that...
Well, I like this show. I like the animation. It was really fluid in spots, especially their time rift portal spell that they end up doing, everyone. Problem is that's so high quality that it really sets it off from the rest of the show.
Yeah.
And so you look at that and you think movie or OAV quality animation gets to the rest of the show. There's some highly animated parts of that too, but the rest of it doesn't have so much attention to detail with motion.
I think that's why I kept wanting more, because I knew they could do better, they could do that more.
And the other thing is that it definitely feels like a weekly show, you know, it's just something different every time. I like this show. I wanted to like it more, like DB3 says it has potential that it doesn't quite live up to. I'm going to give this a recommended, because I'm hoping to see that the second or third volumes of this might go out and possibly expand more what they've done so far. Basically, they went, let's make a parody of video game RPGs, a parody of outer space and giant robots, and a parody of, you know, Chinese action Hong Kong flicks. And, I mean, they've done so far, they've done an okay job of parodying, but they weren't really strong parodies, you know. I've seen better parodies. But I did think it was funny when they were making fun of the character Law from Tekken.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. So I'm going to give this a recommended, and DB3, of course, gave it a neutral. So did you get an anime DVD in the mail?
Better yet, fan mail.
Okay, it is fan mail time, and we have two fan mail entries this time. Basically,
one
broken into two.
Yes.
This one comes from Warp Shadow.
Our friendly neighborhood, Warp Shadow.
Yes, the subject is episode 72 and a half.
Hello, NZ. It's nice to hear from you after quite a while.
Yeah, about that. It'll be different from now on.
Yes,
I've been saying that for so long, but it will be different.
He goes on and continues, actually, Howl's Moving Castle is not written by Miyazaki, but instead an adaptation of a novel by Diane Wynne Jones. I know this because I am reading the book right now.
Well, yes, indeed, I knew beforehand that Diana Wynne Jones had written the book Howl's Moving Castle.
Speaking of novel adaptations, just King and Zico ahead.
Yeah. however, the book, as you noted, was an adaptation and was changed to go and become the anime that it is now. So while Miyazaki may or may not have directly written the script for the Howl's Moving Castle movie, he did have final approval as the producer and director. So even though I think that was relating to what something you or I said about the script of Howl's Moving Castle, he still had final approval on that, and thus the version of it is, you know, directly Miyazaki's baby. So,
yes. Continuing with the letter, he says,
we'll pretend that Diana Wynne Jones was an egg donor.
Okay, that's or a book donor.
Okay.
All right, but continuing with the fan mail, it says, speaking of novel adaptations, have you read the Vampire Hunter D novel?
No.
I have trouble watching the movie now since there was a lot of stuff that was changed, and much of it for the worse. For example, they completely destroy Rei Jinsei's, is that how you say it? Jinsei's character in the movie.
Ah, yes. Well, I have not, as I said, read the Vampire Hunter D novel. But, you know, if you consider novel to manga, manga to anime, anime to sequel that's funded by an American company, it's not going to go and exactly carry everything over. But I really like Vampire Hunter D, so I can only imagine that the novel takes it to a much better...
extreme.
Yeah, it covers things better because it has more room to work with. After all, a book just needs to contain words. A movie needs to contain hundreds of man-hours doing music and animation and cutting down a story to fit within movie parameters.
Yeah. And continuing once again, Warp Shadow says, most anime shows are based off a manga series or a video game. I agree with your general conclusion that manga usually is better. In the case of Ranma, there are a ton of filler episodes. Same deal with Inuyasha.
Now, this, of course, ties back to a recent manga review that I did. And I have to say that, yes, actually most anime, I did know that the majority of anime are not actually original stories, but based off of anime video games or some other, I mean manga or video games or some other facet of popular culture. It's actually kind of almost seems that almost all anime tend to not be original, but just based off of something else.
I never knew that. Thanks, Warp Shadow.
But he does raise a good point about how the manga, you know, the book's usually better than the movie. So, you know, but like I said, it's on a case-by-case basis, but so far it seems...
Usually,
you know,
I say whatever comes, whatever is made first is the better. Like, if the book came first and the book's better, if the movie came first, the movie's better.
Astute observation, DB3. Okay, so anything else we need to cover on this fan mail section?
Nothing that I can think of.
Try harder.
Oh, wait. Thanks, Warp Shadow, for sending it in. Because you know how important it is for fans to write in. Because, as everyone knows, fans are what make the show.
Fans make the show. And speaking of fans, we have to talk about our contest.
Yes.
Okay? So it's September now. And you know what that means, budding artists. It's time to go and get out your latest fan art creations.
You know what I decided? I'm going to bust some fan art out.
Oh, are you?
Yes, I'm going to do that.
Why do I think I smell BS in here?
No, I'm going to. It might not be good, but I'm going to bust something out.
So, of course, we are glad to accept any and all fan art. It can be based off of an anime or video game, manga, or you can even base it off our lovely mascot, Bandy, and enter our monthly fan art contest. Now, of course, I'm trying to build up a big repository of Bandy fan art. But for the time being, the month of September is special. You can enter in any fan art of any anime, manga, video game related subject, and it will be counted in our contest.
Oh, wow.
So that's going to be cool. And, of course, our trivia contest. We sent out issue number 4 of our What's Up at NZ17 Productions newsletter containing this week's trivia question. Now, of course, I can't say the trivia question here on the air because that is exclusively in our newsletter, but you will find out in episode 82 what the answer to the question is. And, of course, it wouldn't be a good answer if we didn't tell you what the question is, so we'll announce that at that time and, of course, announce the winner. If you would like to be in our trivia contest, subscribe to the What's Up newsletter, which you can find a link to on the website, and then you will go and receive a new issue of What's Up whenever it comes out, which will contain the trivia question. Think you know the answer? Send it on in. We'll then put all the correct entries into a pool and draw out one winning entry on episode 82.
Yes. So, send in your answers.
Send in your answers, send in your art, and bring in the hotspot. Come right up and spin the wheel to reveal your hotspot. All right, so we've got something special for you guys. DB3 himself.
Yes,
will be doing.
I have a hotspot.
That's right.
I'm so excited. It's been so long since I've had a hotspot.
And he's going to be reviewing what I recently reviewed.
You reviewed it?
I think I did.
Oh, man.
Who knows? I don't keep track of these things as well as I should.
Now I feel like a loser.
Oh, you're not a loser, DB3. You know, present company exempted.
Wait a second.
But go ahead and tell us about Ramna 1/2 Volume 1.
Ramna 1/2 Volume 1?
That's the one I want to know about.
That's great. It was written by Rumiko Takahashi.
Oh?
Yes. She is a very well-established manga artist in Japan. And this, her crowning jewel, I think, is Ramna 1/2.
Let me interject there. I reviewed this last episode.
You did?
And you can't remember that.
I didn't remember that you did it last episode.
Boy. But that's okay. Continue onwards about this crowning jewel.
Well,
don't worry, I'll throw in a video game review and make up for it, people.
Yeah, he was just giving me a sporting... He was just sporting me, basically, saying, you're all right, DB3. We'll let you do something. You're part of this team.
Yeah. But you're not going to be for long if you don't get on with the show.
So, we have the book. It basically... It goes through the start of the story, how Ramna meets Akane, and it tells more about how he got the curse, and how it's Akane that... has a crush on some people at the school. No, has a crush on her doctor. I'm sorry, Enzi. And basically starts their relationship. It also introduces some of the other characters. I can't think of their names.
It introduces Takahate Kuno.
Kuno.
And it also introduces Ryoga.
I was actually thinking of Ryoga. Because it was funny, like, he comes out of nowhere and Ramna's like, who are you again? Let me think. Oh, wait, you're that one kid at my old school. What are you doing here? So it was just sort of funny, like, how he remembered, like, how he had that stupid...
Well, how the whole incident was nothing to Ramna,
yeah.
But to Ryoga was, like, this horrible thing, you know?
No, I'm trying to think a feud, like how he had this great feud against Ramna, and Ramna's like, what are you talking about? You did something wrong? Oh, yeah, I stole a couple items of food from you. You're mad over that? Yeah, so I thought that was funny. And then, like Enzi said, Kuno's introduced, and Kuno and Ramna have a pretty good bout, and they're both like, he got me? Wow. I didn't even know he touched me. So that's sort of funny.
You're not selling this very well so far.
Well, I'm just upset now, because I remember that she said it last week, and I was all excited, and now it's just...
No, I didn't review it.
Yes, you did.
No, that's purely your imagination at work.
No, I remember.
No.
Because I remember you saying, what did you say? You're like, oh, shoot. You're talking about how, I can't remember what you said now.
Yeah,
I remember
I
you talking
it.
About it.
No, I didn't review it.
Man, I don't even want to review it. I don't even want to go over this anymore. But I'm excited to read the second volume.
Well, okay, just touch on the point. How was the story?
The story was really good. I liked how they brought all the characters together. How it started bringing the...
How are the characters?
They were good.
How was the characters' relationships?
They were great.
How was the artwork?
Great.
No, don't just give me one word over and over.
I really liked the artwork. Like, I was looking at, like, that was, like, the first thing that what I usually do with manga is I'll just glance through the pages and look at all the artwork first. And this one I actually stopped and really looked at it and was like, wow. And I just... My dad came in, like, you're still looking at that? I'm like, yeah, I'm still looking at it. It's that good, Dad.
And how is the comedy?
Comedy, I really like the comedy. Just some of the circumstantial times when Akane and like Ramen are talking, or just there's just really subtle things that I like about it.
How was your take of how well it was translated?
I thought it was translated really well. True, I don't know what it would have been like in the original Japanese, but I felt it gave a really good representation of how they were acting and they were feeling. And
now that you've seen the Ramna television series, some of the OAVs, and the movie, how do you rate this in comparison?
I rate this higher because it sort of gives me a better understanding of everything, of where the characters, who they are really, and stuff.
And so what do you give it, DB3?
I give this...
a round of applause?
I'll give it that, too.
I don't hear it. That's better.
But I'll give this a highly recommended. Mm-hmm. Highly recommended.
You know, Julia Roberts will not be pleased. All right. Well, since I just crushed the wind beneath DB3's sails, I suppose I will have to go and make up for the hot spot with a video game review of my own. But I will make it up to poor little DB3. DB3, do you want me to do a review of Kirby's Air Ride, Animal Crossing, or Sonic Gems Collection?
Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing it will be then. Great game. I give it a recommended.
I've heard a lot about this game.
Oh,
it better be at least recommended.
Okay, I'll give a bit more of my review then.
Are you making fun of me?
Do you want me to?
No, that's just actually because if you're short...
Oh,
you've
got 20 questions.
Oh, dang.
It's questions only. I'm sorry. 1,000 points for Sean. Okay, so... Alright, let me get to the actual video game review of... What was it again?
Animal Crossing.
Why, let me write that down. I told you I was going to do a better job from now on, people. Okay, Animal Crossing for the Nintendo GameCube. Should be released on the Nintendo DS with new internet wireless connectivity features added. Okay. So, that's fine and all, but what is Animal Crossing?
I don't know,
but I really like those commercials where it's like, four people living in a house together, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Animal Crossing is one of those interesting, well, you know Shenmue, right, DB3?
Yeah.
And it helps spawn the FREE genre, the Free Real-Time Entertainment Eyes. And that more or less allows you, instead of being a game with a clear set goal, allows you to more or less live the life of the character and explore their world. In Shenmue, it was 1980s Japan. In Animal Crossing, you go and you move to a special village where animals live. These animals apparently live in peace and harmony, unlike the animals of our world. And they're all anthropomorphic, and they talk to each other. But they're really cute, super deformed versions. Kind of interesting note, this game originally was a Nintendo 64 game,
yes,
but then was later ported to the GameCube. But still, I'm not telling what the game is. The game, you take on the role of a person moving to this town. What's the name of the town? Well, that's a brilliant thing. Almost everything in Animal Crossing is up to your command. You get to go and decide everything about this game, in essence. So you name the town, and of course you give out your name, your gender, and all that. And you go and you help establish this town. You show up, and you end up getting this house, a very small house to start off with. But once you pay off your loan, you can go and make the house bigger, add a basement to it, and of course, there's tons and tons of things to collect. You could spend months just collecting the crap in this game and never collect everything.
Wow.
Because, in the game you can go fishing and you can go bug catching. There's 40 different kinds of insects you can catch and 40 different kinds of fish. And this is just one aspect to give you an idea of the scope of this world. Generally, the gameplay is spent catching fish, catching bugs, talking to neighbors, running errands, buying and selling stuff from the store. That's about it. Every couple of days, some new interesting person will be coming through town. You can talk with them. The animals will move in and out of town depending on a variety of factors. I almost wonder if it's just random, but I think it actually plays off. If you don't talk to a character often enough, they'll decide to go and move to a different town. So if you go and you have your town going along well, more characters will start moving to your town. I think you can have up to 15 different animals that will eventually end up moving to your town, and I think you start off with something like 8 that live there.
Wow.
And that's not even including the standard residents. There's the mayor, Tortimer, who's a very interesting character by himself. There is the Abel sisters, Mabel Abel and Sable Abel, that run a tailor shop. There's the dogs of the police station. There is the sailor that always ends up getting shipwrecked and washed ashore. There's the sea captain. Let's see, there's Porter the monkey. There's just some characters that are in every town, but not only do you get to name your town, but your town is randomly generated. Now, you know, the stable places like the museum where the owl works, and the town fountain, and the Abel sister shop, those will all be present in the town, but the layout of the river through the town, and cliffs and whatnot is different for each person, as well as the native fruit. But I'm getting way beyond what I meant to start off with. The fish and the insects that you can catch, there's 40 of them, as I said, but you can only catch the insects and fish according to the season. You see, Animal Crossing works off the clock of the GameCube system, or DS, I imagine, in the future. And so when it's nighttime in the real world, it's nighttime in the game world. So you have to be up at night to catch the insects that are out at night. You have to be up in the mornings to catch them then. You have to go to trees to find the insects that are on trees, and flowers to find the insects that like flowers. And of course, there's only certain insects you'll be able to catch in the summer, the fall, the winter, and the spring. So to catch all 40 of the insects, you'll have to play this game for at least a year.
Wow.
You use a net to sneak up and catch these insects, which is fun in itself, but you also get a fishing pole, and it's even harder to catch those dang rascally fish. And those, of course, change with the season and weather. Such, for example, some fish will only come out when it's raining.
Wow.
So there's a lot of variety right there. You can design your own clothes and patterns. You design the patterns at the Abel Sister shop, where you can buy patterns from there. And then using those patterns, you can go and turn them into clothes, turn them into umbrellas, turn them into wallpaper, or turn them into flooring for your house.
Holy cow.
So yeah, there's a lot to do. There's the HRA, which is a housing judgment academy kind of thing. They examine your house for its aesthetic quality, and they give you a rank. And if you get good ranks, they'll send you prizes and whatnot in the mail. Speaking of mail, this game is actually a multiplayer game. Now, it's not simultaneous multiplayer where everybody's going at once, but you can have yourself and up to 3 other people reside in the town with you. And you can send mail to each other. You can send mail to the animals. You can even actually go and have the animals send mail to you.
Wow.
You'll dig up fossils that you'll send away to the main branch of the Faraway Museum. They'll examine them, send them back, and then you can donate it to the local museum. Or if they already have that, you can sell that to Tom Nook, the local merchant. The more you buy from Tom Nook, eventually he will upgrade his store over time from a small little shack into a mega conglomerate superstore, which will contain just tons of things. You can go and go to a special island. This game has a lot of connectivity built into it. So if you hook up your Game Boy Advance to the GameCube, you'll be able to travel to a special tropical island that only your character can go to. And then you can talk to the islander, bring furniture to them. You actually have your own hut, which you can also design the furniture layout and everything there.
Wow.
One of the cool parts about the game that I briefly touched on earlier was that each town has a special fruit that grows in that town specifically. Well, you can go and you can visit other people's towns. You can either take your memory card with the main save on there, or have a second memory card and create a travel save, which just saves whatever you're carrying and your character's statistics. You then go take your character and visit a friend's town. You can buy stuff from the store there, talk to the residents there, and a different fruit will be growing in his town, so you pick up some of that fruit, bring it to your town, then you can plant the fruit, and fruit trees of that type will begin to grow. So you can get multiple types of fruit going in your town the more towns you visit. And fruit that doesn't natively grow in your town is worth 5 times as much if you sell it than domestic fruit. The thing is, though, you start visiting other people's towns, the animals in your town may move to those people's towns, and the animals in their town may move to your town.
You serious?
But I'm serious. There's that much depth to this game. I mean, the game, there isn't exactly a ton of depth, I guess you could say, as in one thing you dig deeper and deeper and deeper into it, but there's just so many things that have so many aspects to them that there's really quite a lot that you can do with this game. If you have the e-reader, for example, you can hook that up to your Game Boy Advance, buy the Animal Crossing e-reader trading cards, scan them in through the e-reader's barcode reader, and get special items in the game. You can even unlock special activities like jump rope that you can play with the other residents of the town. One of the cool things that you can find is NES games, Nintendo Entertainment System, the original Nintendo. They actually have Nintendo games hidden in the game that you can get from the other characters or doing events or whatnot. Special rare ones that you can only get by doing special things. And it's just crazy. I mean, you can literally landscape your entire town. You can buy flowers, you can buy potted trees, or you can just grab some fruit, and you can go plant the flowers wherever you want in town. You know, obviously you can't plant them in rock or in the ocean, but you can plant them anywhere where there is ground, or if there's trees and there's too many trees, you can cut down the trees. Lay them out however you want. Plant your stuff, the flowers will bloom, the trees will gradually take about a week to grow from a sapling to a full-grown fruit-bearing tree. It's really, the whole town is more or less under your influence. And so, let's say you cut down some trees, shaved your game, and left. Well, then another person comes and plays as their character. Well, you all live in the same town, so everything that one person does affects the other people living there. So it's a real interesting, I guess you could kind of say, communication, community sort of a game. There's not too much out there. The only thing I can really compare it to is Shenmue, but that was more story-based, you know, than this was. So it's a really interesting game. Now, at first, you're just blown away by all the stuff that you can do. But then, of course, after a while, the novelty of it all wears off. And so, yes, you can continue to play, wait for different seasons and different characters and whatnot to show up. But after a while, you might start to get the feeling, you know, you've seen this and you've done this before. So, granted, the game doesn't have unlimited replayability, but if you can get a lot of people going and playing this game with you, you can actually end up with quite a lot more fun. Basically, the more people that play, the more places you can go with your character, the more things you can do, find, and collect. And I guess you could say, in a sense, the game is limitless because you can really go and just design your own patterns, design your own house. Heck, if you get bored, you can even go and bulldoze down your house and start over from scratch.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Even if you upgrade your house all the way, you can open up a savings account and eventually go and earn interest on that so you can buy all sorts of crazy things to decorate your house, you know?
That's cool.
The only real goals in the game are the goals that you set yourself. I've been playing this game with a relative of mine, and she's not good at paying off her loans. But what she is good at is she loves just going around and collecting all sorts of things and changing into different outfits and just, you know, going around and basically goofing off and doing nothing. Because I guess, you know, the game suits whatever you want to do. If you want to go after goals, you do that. If you just want to mess around and have fun, you can do that. Because there's no real threat of your character being killed off or whatnot, because there's no enemies to fight. So if you want, you know, an action experience, this isn't going to provide it. But if you just want some, you know, fun pastime that changes every day, you do this. I mean, there's actually something I skipped, but there's holidays. Holidays that happen in the real world happen there. Halloween, Christmas, Easter, New Year's, they all happen in this game and more. There's even, you know, specific things to the game like Founder's Day, you know, which is supposed to be the historical date your town was founded on, or meteor showers that happen during the summer. There's just all sorts of cool
things. The founding day, is that the day you start your game, you started your game on?
No, actually, the Founder's Day is August 21st.
Oh.
I don't know if that has something to do with the game's original ship date or what, but still, pretty cool.
Wow.
So, like I was getting at, there's just a ton of things to do in this game. And if you get tired of the game, play your NES game, you know? So it all works out well. As a matter of fact, you can even transfer the games from the GameCube onto your Game Boy Advance and play those on the go.
Wow.
So, like I said, lots of interconnectivity, just lots of stuff you can do. It's a really great game. But like I said, after a while, it does wane off, but you know, what game doesn't? But, so I give this a highly recommended. It isn't exactly an endless potpourri of things, in a sense, because long before you collect everything, you'll probably tire of it. But as long as you can keep playing, keep getting more people to play, and basically kind of build your own Animal Crossing community in real life around the game, you can really have a lot of fun with this. And now that e-readers and Game Boy Advances and GameCube Game Boy Links are dirt cheap, you can do it much more reasonably than when all this hardware and such was new.
I think it's time for a little bit of NG bragging. How's your collecting going?
Well, it's kind of funny. When I play the game, I don't so much go to collect everything. I just wanted to build a really big house. So I have the biggest house you can possibly get, and I really need to get more stuff just to fill up the house. So that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
But I've got like 2 NES games. I think my relative that's playing with me, my little sister, actually has gotten a 3rd Nintendo game from one of the residents of the town. And so we've got some of that going on. And right now I'm trying to get as many different fruit trees to grow in the town as possible. Right now I have peaches and oranges growing.
What was your native fruit?
Peaches. The thing is you can take coconuts from the island to your mainland and plant them, but you have to plant them on a rainy day or else they won't take and your trees will die off. So I'm waiting to do that. Plus, I got a cherry and I tried to plant a cherry tree with it, but I don't know if that has taken yet, so I got to check in on that. But I got another cherry, so I'm assuming that the game gave me another cherry because the first tree died off. Whether or not that's the case, I don't know, but I keep trying. Want to make sure I get a cherry tree happening, lots of fruit, because it's just kind of cool, you know.
So the fruit will just give you fruit like that sometimes?
Well, sometimes a balloon will be floating through the air attached to a cloud, or a basket attached to a cloud. It's been a while. You can use your bug-catching net to catch the basket, and when you catch it, depending on when you catch it, you'll get like 1 of 4 or 5 different possible things.
Wow.
One might be a new piece of fruit, one might be a Nintendo game, one might be a piece of furniture, you know, different stuff. But it's interesting because all of the game characters, they have the different things they say, their different personalities and ways of talking. It's just immense the amount of crap they throw into this thing.
That's cool.
So it's cool. I like sending letters back and forth between me and my sister playing the game, because, you know, it's just neat to read each other's letters. You know, get mail is always exciting. You can send each other presents in the mail as well. And you send things to the animals in the town, and they'll grow closer to you, and they'll even send you really cool stuff in return. So, and, of course, the other thing I'm doing, trying to build up the museum. I've got a ton of insects and fish in there already, but now I'm trying to go and make complete dinosaur skeletons, which there's 3 parts to most dinosaurs, so it takes a bit of time.
Wow.
Lots of crap in the game.
Yeah.
It really is immense. I mean, heck, you can even collect classical paintings. So, it's insane. But, do you want to play the game, DB3?
I will want to play the game.
Well, if ever you go and get yourself a GameCube in the game and whatnot, we'll go and see what we can manage.
All right.
Yeah, so now we find ourselves at the end of another immense episode, eh, DB3?
Yes, but this episode, it has some good things about it.
Well, here's something for you. Now, looking at our recent reviews here, let's see, crazy stuff. Now, I reviewed You're My Secret, and I reviewed Romna 1/2, and I believe I reviewed the first Oh My Goddess volume, correct?
Yes.
But I do not think I have reviewed the second Oh My Goddess volume, correct?
Oh, I don't know.
I do not think that I have.
I don't think you have either.
So, what I propose is that by the time we do the next episode, you need to have that read.
All right.
You can come in and do the very first review on a manga
instead of just
following in my footsteps.
I'll get a break out of NZ Shadow for
a little bit. There you go. But very long episode, lots of fun. It took a while to make up those new sound effects, though I don't think the listeners believe me on that, because they don't sound like they took, but it took a couple of takes to get those just right. Anything you want to say, DB3? This will probably be the last show that we'll record before the convention. I mean, okay, we'll probably record one more, but that won't go up until afterwards. So, with that in mind, and the contests, and all the crazy stuff we do. Anything you want to say or mention or anything?
No, not really. I can't think of anything. You guys are the best. Keep listening.
Friends, yeah, keep listening.
Tell your friends to listen.
Yeah, that's a good point. I haven't mentioned that in quite a while. Yeah. Well, you do it.
What do you want me to say? Tell your friends to listen.
Yeah, well, you know, like we say, the fans make the show. The more fan mail we get, the happier we get.
Sure, and the happier you are, because we'll become better at it.
It's basically a cycle. The happier we are, the more episodes we put out. The more episodes we put out, the happier you guys are, you know?
Yep.
So, you know, the more people we get listening, the more people send in the fan mail, the better we feel. Oh, sure, we like to go and sell some CDs and T-shirts, too, but it's more gratifying just to have a lot of listeners.
Yep.
All right, so for episode 78, show 1 of season 6, this is NZ17
and DB3
signing out.